MacDonald, what did you make of Rachel Sage and Colouring Book?
That was lovely. I really enjoyed it.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Alex Crawford?
Really nice. I'd love to listen to that while driving around.
What better endorsement could you wish for? Today it's the eve, no pun intended, of National Bag of Book Day. To take us around to the LA Zoo people, this was a piece we did earlier with Jenna Warren.
There are certain aspects of a retail, and we've just talked about that with respect to obviously our retail expert in Grantham. That's Claire Rayner, of course, independent business expert. And for us, one of the classic retail stores is that wonderful place in Saltburn, which of course is the Book Corner. We're delighted to actually welcome back to the airwaves the fabulous owner, proprietor of the Book Corner in Saltburn. That would be the fabulous Jenna Warren. Good morning, Jenna. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. I'm very well, thank you, and thanks for having me.
It's always a delight, and as I say, tying in very much with the recent research that suggests that in terms of what makes people come back to their local businesses for generations is quality of service, loyalty, and indeed the whole notion of sort of the local sort of aspect. And you can't get much local or more local, shall we say, than Saltburn's very own Book Corner, although, as I've said, it attracts international folk as well.
Yes, that's very true. I now have a really nice sort of, group of regulars who tend to come in like every week, which is lovely. But I also do get visitors from all over the country, obviously people who are obviously on holiday up here and visiting family, and people from overseas for the same reasons.
Absolutely, indeed. You even have people coming up from Lincoln. Astounding, but there we are. That's a sort of retreat. Uh-huh. However, we're here to talk about a special event that's been taking place. In fact, it's just about to due to take place, and we'll be echoing in terms of the independent book routine as well. So what exactly is that special event that involves books, bags, and books being your bag, and so on?
Right, the event's called Books Are My Bag. It's a national campaign run by the Booksellers Association to celebrate and promote high street bookshops, so that's independent bookshops and chains as well. It's a collaboration between authors and publishers and bookshops, and it runs from tomorrow, Thursday the 8th, until Saturday the 10th. That's like the sort of main focus of the activity. Because on Saturday the 10th, bookshops all around the country, including Book Corner, have what's called big bookshop parties, which are like a celebration day. So I'll be having various things going on, sort of special offers and bags. These wonderful special edition bags have been designed by Grace and Perry. So those are going to be for sale. And there's also bags which have been designed by Lauren Child, who's the author and illustrator of the Charlie and Lola series. So they're going to be available as well. And it's just a nice day of sort of bookish activity, really.
And it's a very nice tie-in, of course, with the fact that it's this Monday this week, where we saw that extra 5p charge going on supermarket carrier bags and so on for large chain stores. So this is a wonderful way of reminding people of the importance of being loyal to not only your local bookstore, but also with respect to books, bags, and all sorts of factors from that point of view. Now, is the intention, basically, Jenna, that you'd like people to obviously come along to the Book Corner, or indeed go to their local independent bookstore, and let's face it, we'll give a shameless plug to Linden Books as well in Lincoln as well, and simply actually get as many books as they can fit into their bag, or is it a case of no, you go for the more discerning reader?
No, either really. I'm doing an offer whereby if people spend £10 on books, and that can be any books at all, they get a free bag. But yes, it's basically the idea is just to get people talking about books and bookshops, and to remind people that they're there. Because obviously they're a wonderful resource, and everyone I talk to seems to absolutely love bookshops, but I think sometimes people do need a reminder to keep using them, and that's the thinking behind the campaign. So the idea is that, for example, that the Booksellers Association have set up, for example, a hashtag, which is hashtag Desert Island Reads. And this is something that they're going to be doing to try and get people talking about books online. So there's going to be little postcards available in my shop where you actually have to choose your top 8 books that you take to a desert island with you. And the idea is that gets customers talking about talking to booksellers and talking to each other about what their favourite books are.
I see we've even got Books for Your Desert Island with hashtag Desert Island Reads that's put together from that perspective. So, you know, very much the hashtag BAMB, BAMBA, is the key thing to actually go from this point of view. What would be your own choice for a Desert Island Read book, Gemma?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I mean, it was hard enough to narrow it down to 8. I mean, if I had to choose, I'd probably take The Humans by Matt Haig. And I'd probably also take, if you would allow me to, I'd take Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell by Susanna Clarke.
Excellent choices in both cases. You've clearly got the notions there of actually thinking outside the box and the perspective of humanity from both our areas, actually, both the contemporary world and indeed the kind of 18th century aspect, which, of course, recently BBC television series, of course, was made of, I think, her debut novel, Susanna Clarke's novel,
the Sky News Centre
and Mr. Norrell. So excellent stuff there. I see also there's even a Books Are My Bag bookshop advent calendar that's sort of around in all sorts of ways. You can go to the classic line booksaremybag.com to find out more and excite with respect to all sorts of other aspects from there. I mean, clearly, as I say, just one more sort of step along the way, the Book Corner has actually been in operation now for, you're well into your second year and continuing to thrive on trusts.
Yes, I am well into my second year. I opened May last year, 2014, and yes, I'm really happy with how it's going at the moment. I feel as though it's really sort of building up, and I think there's a lot more people now. I think word of mouth spread as well. There seems to be a lot more people from sort of further afield in the area who are aware that the bookshop's there and are coming to visit, so that's great.
And I think you deserve high praise for your selection on the spot of the hashtag Desert Island Reads for Books for the Desert Island. Looking at some of the sort of responses there, one person actually put in the works of Shakespeare in 3 volumes that they'd pretend would actually be one thing. Cloud Atlas was appearing, Time Traveller's Wife, and the whole sort of notion of 2 Lives by Vikram Seth, James Bond novel. They're sort of emerging from that. Survival Medicine and Civil Engineering for Dummies also appears by one of the contributors. That's amazing stuff. Go to hashtag booksaremybag.com or www.booksaremybag.com and hashtag Desert Island Reads. But for the moment, can people actually get in touch with your good self at the wonderful world of the Book Corner via Facebook? How do they reach you, Jenna?
Okay, I'm on Facebook as Book Corner Saltburn. Mm. So if you just search for that, you should find me, no problem at all. I'm also on Twitter, which is at Book Corner Shop. And I have a website, which is www.bookcornershop.co.uk.
There we are. You see, success in every sense of the word. Jenna, an absolute delight touching base with yourself. Again, it's Thursday when it kicks off. You might have heard this piece on Wednesday because it has been a pre-record, because all sorts of exciting things working through. But Jenna, hopefully you'll be returning to the airwaves in the very near future. And of course, it's high time we came along and did another location report and possibly actually hosted one of our own Book of the Months at the Book Corner in Saltburn.
That would be lovely.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear back live, of course, with the time being 2.5 minutes past 6 p.m. as far as British time is concerned, or indeed Lincoln time. Now, over in the magic that is Los Angeles, I believe it's coming up to 2.5 minutes past 10 a.m. in the morning. Isn't that right? Ace extraordinary, wonderful, all-round good person and soul marketing experience, soul extraordinaire that is Emily Marin, Marketing and Communications Officer for the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association. How are you?
I'm very good. It is still 10:02 a.m. despite that lengthy, wonderful
really?
Introduction.
Well, we thought we'd nudge it around to 10:03, but what the hey? It's a way of actually entertaining this. Just before we start talking about Boo at the zoo and various other factors that are here, including the upcoming lights scenario, what would your favourite book be? We're celebrating, as you may have gathered from that little piece, Emily, we're celebrating the joys of Bag a Book Day for independent booksellers, etc. What book would you like to bag if you went on Desert Island?
Oh, putting me on the spot. But, you know, someone mentioned the collected works of Shakespeare, and I would actually take the sonnets.
Nice.
Because I can return to those again and again.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
Yes, and there are funny ones and heartbreaking ones. And
in fact,
I just love the whole narrative arc.
We could almost choose a Shakespearean sonnet for your favourite Los Angeles Zoo animal. There's a possibility of it.
That is a fantastic idea.
And that's before we even start talking about Boo at the LA Zoo. Nothing to do with Boo Radley or any of the sort of Boo scenarios, but actually it's the Halloween season. And what magical things are you doing between 10 a.m. through to 4 p.m. with the activities at the Los Angeles Zoo? Spooky caves, supernatural sensors. It sounds as though it's a scary place. What's going on, Emily?
Yes. Well, in years past, we had a Halloween celebration that was weekend only, and it was very trick-or-treat focused. There were a lot of lollies, if you call them, passed out.
I love those wonderful lollies.
Yeah.
Candy sticks, I don't know, dentist happiness things, whatever.
But this year, we wanted to expand it to a whole month and take the focus away from treats, you know, that feed the sweet tooth, toward treats that feed the imagination, and make it very zoo-specific. So we do have a spooky cave experience, but within these dim, dank caverns, you'll learn stuff about the supernatural powers of animals, as we're calling them. These are extraordinary adaptations that animals have developed to help them succeed in their environments. Also in the caves, there are projections of giant tarantulas and snakes, which can be quite startling. Horrifying for some, wonderful for others.
I'm just, we have to warn people. Intrigued by the fact you've got a boneyard education station with animal skeletons and skulls.
Yes.
So in a sense, you know...
We do. Yes, it's a wonderful way to celebrate because we have all these things on hand. We call them biofacts. Mm. They include pelts and skeletons and even scat, which people love. So Halloween time is a great time to bring these things out because people have a very fascination, sometimes morbid, sometimes not, mm-hmm. with skeletons and bones and seeing how things work and seeing what happens to animals when they depart this earth.
Well, exactly. And they just move into another dimension, leaving there, obviously, this little structure behind. You know, sort of,
Yeah. Well, in this celebration, it's for a wide range of ages. You know, older kids will like the boneyard station with the skeletons and bones and the scat station. And younger kids, there's a hay bale maze that they can explore and happen upon. We have silhouettes of creatures of the Los Angeles night, creatures that come out in your backyard.
Ancient film directors and movie producers and such like. No, perhaps
that's
not.
Right.
Where they could be.
Exactly. Right. Not the night clubbing creatures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Eva McDonald.
More like raccoons and opossums and coyotes.
They're pressing the phone as we speak. Eva McDonald. Thoughts from yourself, from the perspective of Lincolnshire Less, what would you like to ask Emily?
Oh, I'd just like to ask you how your day's going so far.
Exactly. It's just started.
Just a simple
question. We like to find it.
It's been a splendid
Wednesday in the fall over in
Lincoln. It is gorgeous. You know, we had two, three, maybe four days of fall for the last few days where it was rainy and cool and beautiful and big, dramatic clouds in the sky, and today it's back to being 85 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is, Celsius.
Well, that's Los Angeles weather.
Clear, not a cloud in the sky, and so everyone was really relishing this few days of fall. I got out my biggest, chunkiest sweaters and wrapped the kids up in their jackets for school, and now they're back to shorts.
Well, and that's amazing. In Lincoln, England, it's been raining for most of the day, but that's okay. We like it in our own way.
Well, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I truly am.
Alex McDonald, thoughts for yourself. I mean, the actual prices are just unbelievable. I mean, actually, Emily, just run the cost of actually sort of attending one of these events at the Los Angeles Zoo. The average ticket price is?
Adults $20, children $15, and all of our booths and activities
are free. I don't think that's outlandish.
I think it's unbelievably cheap, is what I'm saying. Oh, that's the key thing. It's equivalent to 10 English pounds.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
All that good stuff. It's amazing. Boneyard sections, as you said.
And then on the weekends, we have special entertainment. We have music and performances and crafts. That's right. So it's a lot of fun. It is quite a deal.
Thoughts from yourself, Mr.
I'd like to know what your favourite animal is.
Ooh. It's a question I think she's been faced with before, hasn't it?
I'm sure, I
don't know what I answered before, but I am a sucker for primates. I really am, for chimps and gorillas and orangutans. The big apes.
Interesting enough, for Phil Leonis and other Los Angeles folk, Ilana Rain, and indeed possibly even Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten, if they're around, and any of our Los Angeles listening, if you want to trek along to the Los Angeles Zoo, you can also see a variety of feeding experiments. Obviously, it was last week we had feeding for the lions and feeding for the Komodo dragons, but presumably you can also see the animals being fed as well. Is that throughout Halloween or the season of Halloween?
That is part of our weekend programming. Yeah. So we have elephants doing what we call a chomp and stomp. They get giant pumpkins that they like to literally stomp on and kind of mangle and tear apart.
It gets rid of the rage. That's the important thing. You know, it's like sort of executive toys. If you want to sort of just let the thing go, don't get punching bag, stomp on a pumpkin. You know, I'm not being anti-pumpkin
Everyone
here.
Everyone needs an outlet. I know, yes. We should offer that for our adult guests.
For the executives, exactly. We work through
that.
It's a way forward.
And then for the Komodo dragon, carnivores like the Komodo dragons, and also for, I believe, our jaguar and others, they are getting carcasses or partial carcasses. This is something, these animals really benefit from eating a whole animal, benefit from the eating the tendons and the bones and things like that. And it's usually something we do behind the scenes because it can get quite grisly.
Exactly.
During Halloween, you know, it's very appropriate.
A bit of blood and
we do
gore.
Have to post warning signs.
Well, Emily, we sort of thought long and hard about it, and we are going to talk in a few moments about the LA Zoo lights. I mean, let's face it, if we didn't, Laura would just be beside you. She'd say, no, we want to talk about Los Angeles Zoo lights. But as a kind of bridging piece of music, we thought long and hard about this. We thought, Halloween, okay, where are we going with respect to this? Well, we thought, in the end, we'd try and link the continents between Europe and America, England, Lincoln, England, Los Angeles, California, with this little number. So stay with us, and we'll be back with you in about 3 minutes and 26 seconds from now.
The Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's.
But it's fair to say that even if the werewolf was drinking a pina colada or walking with Lon Chaney and the Queen across the LA Zoo, well, you might put a warning sign out there, wouldn't you, Emily Merritt?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very much. It was a tough call. We could have gone Monster Mash, but we thought Werewolves of London. It might sort of just be a
nice one. I love it. That is a great song.
Exactly. There we are. You see, it's clearly she's got good taste as well. Genius. It can't be, but it is a year, almost a year, since the first official launch of the Los Angeles Zoo Association Lights package put together. And already we're talking about something which is going to be even more spectacular, with a new standard for awe-inspiring nighttime magic at the Los Angeles Zoo from Friday, November the 27th, through to, actually, my birthday, Sunday, January the 3rd, 2016. What are the odds? Exactly. J.R.R. Tolkien and
you should come.
I should, shouldn't I, really?
So this is something which, I mean, it's become as traditional as, well, any Christmas festivity or holiday season joy you'd wish to have. But you've, once again, Emily, you've got a menagerie of animal characters, including mischievous animated monkeys scampering through the grounds. Now, you know, I mean, even Alex Crawford, animated monkeys scampering through the grounds, that's got to appeal, surely.
Of course. How can you resist?
A giant glowing snake coiled on a roof. A whimsical spider glowing with colour-changing points of light. Ooh! And a hillside with snowboarding lizards. I'll say that again. A hillside with snowboarding lizards. Hopefully no lizards are actually harmed in the making of the snowboarding scenario. But there were elephant sculptures.
The only live animals on display are reindeer, which we have. All of the other animals are light animals, illuminated, glowing, 3D projections, runs the gamut. It's really spectacular.
And once again, you've got the delights of Greg Lacey and Bionic League. No relation to Jamie Summers or Steve Austin, the $6 million man. Well, I suppose they might be. Bionic League, the entertainment industry partners. Some people who are certainly chronologically gifted might get that reference to a classic 1970s series. Others, what's he talking about? Steve Austin for the Bionic Woman and so on. But we also have a combination of things that have been done for artists like Daft Punk, Kanye West, soon to be President of the United States, I believe, Emily.
Oh.
What a choice. Kanye West or Donald Trump? Where are you going to go? It's enough to make you turn British, isn't it? Let's face it.
Oh, definitely Kanye, I hate to say. But those are the choices. Yeah. The American people will not.
Yeah, you say that now, but who knows, Emily?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger was our governor in California.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
For many, many years.
And if he'd only become
who would have thunk?
If he'd only become a naturalized citizen, he could have been running the country by now. But still, many people say he still does. Anyway, the Zoo Lights Association, it does seem to get more and more spectacular. I mean, how do you actually work on the purpose of how are we going to actually top last year's? Because for many folk, that was just the ultimate in terms of fantastic exhibitions. I'm actually just looking at the website now with nurturing wildlife and enriching human experiences and so on. It just seems as though you provide the citizens of Los Angeles and the world with events of which they're almost not worthy.
Oh, that is so sweet. Well, when we did it last year, we suspected there was demand because there isn't this kind of thing. Many zoos do holiday light shows around the country, and we knew that they could be popular, but this is such a unique market, Los Angeles. There's a lot going on with all the amusement parks, and other venues doing holiday programming. But this is very unique in Los Angeles. It's a self-guided tour. You're walking through this beautiful environment that is so familiar during the day, but at night it just becomes kind of a mysterious, magical place. And it was very successful last year. We shattered our attendance goals, almost doubling them. And this year, we're making it bigger and better. So that means filling out the route with even more lights, adding more monkeys. The conceit, the narrative of this experience is that mischievous light monkeys have taken over the zoo, and they have put up their own holiday decorations, which are charming but slightly askew because they are fabricated by monkeys. And so the monkeys,
they'll be writing the works of Shakespeare before we know where they are. Unbelievable. An infinite number.
They are sonnet-loving monkeys.
Exactly.
To be sure. And then they kind of take you through this route where you're introduced to all of their light animal friends, which includes an origami rhinoceros and a glowing alligator and just a menagerie of fanciful creatures. And then this year, as you mentioned, we're going to include our reptile and amphibian house, And atop that building will be a glowing snake, which will be quite spectacular.
Yeah. Yes, Eva McDonald, a glowing snake. Yeah, exactly.
Glowing.
It's like the Jungle Book all over again, writ large. You know, all we need is Bill Murray singing the Bare Necessities, and it's almost as though the movie's coming out as a stage show. It's fantastic. And how do people find out about the LA Zoo? Well, you could go to lazoo.org, of course, which is the website and address from that point of view. You could even see, as we're just looking at now, just returning to Boo at the LA Zoo, a curiously wonderful bear. Looks like a grizzly bear to me, holding, in a kind of caressing way, as bears do, a pumpkin with Boo at the LA Zoo. Tell me that wasn't Photoshop, please.
It actually wasn't.
No, exactly. That's a genuine bear, smarter than the whole thing. You're quite right. It's not a grizzly. You see, there we are. What hope would I be in the wild? I couldn't tell the difference between a grizzly bear and a yogi would have nothing on me from that point of view. But yes, a black bear with its paw, you know, what's not to appreciate about that? Amazing. Can people book for this online? Do they need to? Would you say book ahead? Is it advisable to book ahead if they're thinking about taking a holiday in Los Angeles, or, you know, if they're over in the States, etc.? What's the best way to book tickets for these grand events? Boo at the LA Zoo, and of course the wonderful LA Lights.
Right. Well, tickets can be purchased online for a Boo at the Zoo at lazoo.org/boo. And tickets for LA Zoo Lights go on sale on October 15th. And the website there is lazoolights.org.
Genius. Emily, as ever, I feel as though my life is just that little bit better. And I don't care about the listener. I'm just happy for myself, really. It's, you know, sorry, just once. Just I feel as though inspired.
Oh, one final plug, though, for those living in Lincoln and environs. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you can see pictures and stories from Boo at the Zoo and LA Zoo Lights.
Do you know, I think we'll be sorting that out, because the next critical questions, I think you know what they are. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show this evening or this morning in Los Angeles?
Reasonably interesting. This has been unbelievably interesting.
We like to feel as though we like to start the whole thing. A round of applause for Emily Marin, please. Cracking stuff there. So I take it then, Emily, you'll be willing to join us again in the very near future, because, I mean, I think we can't just have these quarterly links and updates. So, I mean, Eva, we need more Emily, don't we?
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
You see, there we are. That is the voice of Miss... That's Miss Teen Lincoln speaking. In a few weeks' time, hopefully, Miss Teen UK. There we are. That's Eva McDonald. Yeah.
Oh, good luck to you.
Oh, thank you.
You sound wonderful.
Exactly. And, of course, Alex McDonald as well.
Crawford.
Crawford, exactly. easily confused. There we are. Alex Crawford. For the benefit of people who might be saying, what about those little animals who want to get to sleep? It's all right. In the deep forest, there's always a sweet lullaby. Happy trails, Emily.
Thank you.
Way to travel, but maybe it's a case of just getting into one's mind and appreciating the joys of how do we improve our vacation time. To address this, we're delighted to be able to connect with ace travel and TV presenter and adventurer extraordinaire. That would be the legendary Simon Reeve. Good morning, Simon. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm reeling slightly. Ace and legendary. This is just too much. Thank you very much.
Let's say it. If you're listening to this in the afternoon, it's good afternoon. It's all very confusing. It's a world global time network. this particular survey that came through from American Express, 51% of people who actually go on holiday still keep checking their social channels up to 15 times a day on holiday. Those of working age can take up to 6 days to wind down. This can't be good for downtime across the globe, can it?
I'm with you. I think it's pretty astonishing, actually. They've questioned hundreds of Brits. And I think one of the most surprising things is nearly half of the people they question are spending invaluable holiday time, reviewing personal and work emails, which is just bonkers, frankly, isn't it? We can't be doing this when we're away. We have to enjoy the incredible opportunities that travel offers. You rack up such memories and experiences to carry through life when you're on holiday. And if you're constantly connected, then you're not switching off and you're not immersing yourself fully in trips and you're missing out on the true travel experience.
Indeed. Now, we hear a great deal about the importance of mindfulness, and when you've actually covered things such as the Indian Ocean, Australia, basically you've visited over 110 countries. Maybe the last thing you really should be thinking about there is, oh, shall I get my selfie out and make sure we get some selfie sticks from that point of view and then work it onto social media? Because it's not really engaging with the magic that's there, is it?
I think you're right. And it's, you know, obviously I've been very blessed, frankly, to go on some pretty extraordinary adventures. But if I'm on, you know, even if I'm on holiday round the corner, you know, you want to be enjoying that moment and that experience. And you know, the research that's been done, it's been done for the American Express Preferred Rewards Gold Card, and the idea is they've discovered, you know, that half of us are checking the social media up to 15 times a day. You almost have to repeat it to understand the sort of enormity of this. This is people not really not just engaging with wherever they are, their destination, but who they're with as well. You know, this is a situation where people are sitting down at meals and going online to update their social status. You know, having a meal. Yeah, well, have a chat with the person who's opposite you, for goodness sake. So to help you make the most out of every minute you're away, Amex has asked me to share some top tips.
Precisely. This is what I'm going to say. We've identified the challenge, we've seen the difficulty, etc., but there is a way in which you can use the technology, specifically meditation podcasts, to hopefully help.
Yes, there is indeed. They've come up with some fantastic meditation podcasts. They've partnered up with a meditation expert called Will Williams, and he's designed some podcasts that are going to help people to unwind and switch off ahead of going on holiday. They're at amex.co.uk/gold-switch-off. They're brilliant. They're free. I listened to them on the train yesterday. They made me feel very zen. I still feel quite relaxed now. They're a great thing to do. Some other top tips would be set yourself some fun holiday targets. So in advance, you know, think about what you want to do. So you want to eat in 5 local restaurants, write it down. You want to ski a black run, maybe, if you're going on holiday in the mountains. Train to get your paddy qualifications so you can dive. Come up with some ideas and make a plan that will help you to savour the options in advance. So a little bit like smelling the cooking, it just gets your taste buds and your senses working in advance, and it makes it much more likely that you're going to do those exciting things rather than checking in with the office when you're away. I think you've got to know yourself. I think you've got to know if you're someone who's easily distracted by work, then you're going to have to do work a bit harder to enjoy the holiday experience. So set yourself rules, ask who you're going with to help enforce them. For example, only checking your emails or your social channels once a day. Plan and have an adventure. You know, do something quite extreme, whether it's extremely exhilarating, beautiful, thrilling, surprising. The more unusual and different it is, the less time you will have to worry about work. And of course, you've got to make the necessary preparations when you're at work before you go away. You've got to be telling people that you're going on holiday. You've got to say to them, look, I'm not a hamster on a wheel. I'm not taking this. I'm going to go on holiday. I'm going to have an amazing trip. I don't want you contacting me. If they absolutely have to, tell them they can only reach you between 9 and 10 a.m. You know, something like that. You know, set boundaries. You've got to be really strict so you can have a great experience, relax, and rack up some memories when you're on your holiday.
Is this something that affects men more than women, or women more than men? I mean, is it gender specific, or is it an age thing? Is it a case of more younger folk tend to get more sort of het up in terms of if they take their computer away from them or their portable device, it's like losing an arm?
It can be for some people. I don't think there's any gender division. I think we can all get sucked into a situation where we feel we've got to tell everybody what we're doing. And of course, catch up on our emails when we're away. But I think you've just got to prepare in advance before you go, and you've got to clear your email inbox if that's the issue, or you've just got to accept that you are going to enjoy the holiday in the moment, and rediscover the holiday, almost rediscover the idea of a holiday, rather than feeling you've got to capture every moment of it on a screen and send it out to your friends and family. I'm not saying don't take photos. I'm not saying don't use the technology. It can be a wonderful thing, but don't feel like you're a slave to it. Enjoy the holiday experience. Enjoy the holiday moment. Maybe take the photos and then maybe send them out to people when you're back, the old-fashioned way people used to do it. But, you know, in terms of whether it's the young or the old, I remember my dad when I was a lad. He was constantly on whipping out his cine camera and setting, you know, he was even light scenes, for example. He was spending a lot of time getting the camera working rather than playing with us. And I was filming in Israel recently. I was filming a series about pilgrimage, and there's a little travel experience you can do there where people go on a donkey in the footsteps of Jesus for less than an hour. And the people behind that have found they've had to put battery-powered Wi-Fi routers on the donkeys so that American tourists can keep in touch with their social media. They couldn't go for half an hour without tapping on a screen. That's how bonkers things have got. And clearly people aren't engaging with the experience as much as they are telling other folk about it.
Yes, that's certainly something I think we'll chase up with some of our American colleagues, because the notion of actually sort of doing a pilgrimage and at the same time taking hashtag selfies at the same time, it's not quite the same. In the sort of, I mean, whatever your religious beliefs happen to be, whether it's Christian, Buddhist or Islamic, etc., you just think, maybe not. I must admit, I do like the concept of Will Williams. It even sounds like a superhero, a meditation man,
helping you relax. Brilliant. I think you're right. I think he's got an incredible voice, actually. He's perfect for he's a meditation expert. But part of the idea behind it is that you start listening to those podcasts before you go away, so about a week before you go away. And there's many advantages to that. For a start, it helps to get you in the mood before you're going. But it also expands your holiday beyond the confines of the dates that you've gone away. You know, you're thinking about the holiday before you've gone. If you don't, you know, if you send out photos when you're back, then you're savouring the experience of going through the photos calmly and slowly while you're sitting on a train or something when you're commuting to or from work. So it just expands the holiday beyond it, and you get more out of it that way. I'm really keen that people experience and get the memories that travel can really offer. There are very few other things you do in life that rack up so many great experiences so quickly and really tweak your buttons the way travel can do.
Simon, it's been fantastic sharing your passion for the day, and certainly that's why you present more than 60 programmes for the BBC, including things like Sacred Rivers, Pilgrimage, Indian Ocean and so on. You are a superstar. Simon Reeve, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link and hopefully mindful telephonic link with us on the show today?
I've had a mindful telephonic link, and I think you can't ask more from that in life, can you? Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully so. We'll be able to connect with you again in the not-too-distant future, where we continue our mindfulness and the importance of relaxing when you're on holiday. Do you know, Jenny Finch has actually put the phone down. I think, yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, just when we thought it was all safe to actually go to Jenny Finch, she's put the darn phone down. It's strange but true. Never mind. Phil Leonis is clearly waiting to actually get live with us. We'll try and reach Jenny and actually go directly live to her now, see if that actually magic will come. Oh, dear. Nothing. Right. Well, emergency. Factor three. We're all mindful in the studio. We're actually having to take photographs of ourselves in the studio just to prove that we exist. So we're taking photographs to prove that we're actually in the radio studio. Isn't that right, Alex? That's very true. I'll turn your microphone on as well. This is Max Harris. So much to fit in, so much to pack in. The Gurney Slade theme in the background. Jenny Finch, why did you put the phone down? Was it just a case of you'd had enough? You had to take a photograph of yourself on the telephone?
I had to do selfies. It was dreadful. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. It's going to be short but sweet, because otherwise our Los Angeles Philianus would say, ooh, we're taking... So, very quickly, what went wrong with England against Australia? Jenny Finch, we trusted in you. You're an ace writer. You produced such marvellous work as The Drowners, Death of the Elver Man, etc. Why did England lose?
They lost because they lost to Wales, and they lost heart. If they'd have taken the draw with Wales, they'd be going through now.
There you have it. Harsh, but nevertheless true from that point of view. Eva MacDonald, current holder of the Miss Teen UK title, has actually smashed all previous records for books. We gave her a copy of Ian Lennox's delightful Gentlemen and Players, and unlike certain other undergraduate students who took like 6.5 months to read it, no names, it's okay, Eva finished it within a week. Yay.
I did. It was hard, but I managed.
But she did it. Nice, you know, a youngster who reads books. Always.
That's
good.
Wonderful.
Earlier in the production, of course, we were speaking to Jenna, the wonderful owner of the Book Corner Cafe in Saltburn by the Sea. Neither Alex Crawford nor Eva MacDonald actually realised Saltburn by the Sea was a real place. Isn't that right, Alex from Huddersfield?
Oh, I don't doubt it. It's real. I just never had any kind of desire to visit it.
Never had any kind of... It's the home of Jenny Finch.
Well, now I know.
And Eva, you were a bit bemused by it as well, really. You thought it was Saltburn for Saltburn.
Saltburn.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, very quickly, wearing your departmental hat, Jenny, as official spokesperson, as an Essex girl can be, for Saltburn by the Sea in the northeast, why should Eva MacDonald and Alex Crawford look to actually check out Saltburn in the near future?
Well, it's got 8 miles of beautiful beach. It's got an extremely good pier with lots of machines and fun things to do on it. It's got excellent fishing. And overall, it's one of the best places in the northeast to visit, with its own shops, cafes, bars, pubs, and Book Corner Bookshop.
Says it all. Last two questions for Jenny Finch. Please, Eva MacDonald.
Have you had a lovely quick telephonic link with us today?
I have had a wonderful quick telephonic link, thank you.
And hopefully will we be hearing again from you soon?
I hope so, and I'll make sure the phone stays on this time.
I can see the sign now as Jessica Ward gets officially naturalised and becomes an English citizen. The old haka in the background there, paving the way for the Leonis Meister to join us on the show. Phil Leonis, good morning. How are you, sir?
I am, at this particular moment, struggling to free the telephone cord from whatever Buzz Aldrin... tied it around.
Fuzz, please. I'm not sure whether Fuzz was actually doing the engineering this morning, but oh Lord, I think 8 or 9 emails were exchanged between Australia and Lincoln. Dean Hagland, bless his cotton socks, was actually there. We were dialing numbers. He was doing system checks. He was trying to find it. It was clear. Total failure, you know. Total failure,
well,
you know. We're under.
So you weren't able to record a conversation with him?
Tragically, no. I mean, I could have tried to have done a Dean accent in a kind of Jamaican cod accent, but he wouldn't have appreciated that, you know. So that would.
Well, let me share this little thing with you, since really we have nothing but time. At 10:30 p.m. on Sundays here on the Pacific Coast, consult local listings for the time in your area. Dean and I usually record our next morning's podcast.
Indeed.
Because that's in the late afternoon on Monday for him down under.
Yep.
So that's 10:30 p.m. I mean, that's at the end of usually a long weekend of work for me. 10:30 has quickly become 11 p.m., 11:30, and this week, 3 a.m. I had not slept since Friday morning, and I'm waiting hour after hour after hour. Well, he, you know, walks the dogs, makes dinner, has quote-unquote technical problems.
Well, is it one of our longest shows ever, begins with the latest American gun massacre and ends with an Easter egg, where the owls are not what they seem. That's what you can get by going to chillpackhollywood.com, number 438.
It was packed full of all the goodness you've come to expect from our weekly show. It just took us a lot longer to get to all of it, because at 3 o'clock in the morning, you were getting a lot of this from me at the beginning of the show. I'll do an imitation of me on my own show. That's a great story, Dean. So that was, it took me a while to wake up into the show.
Channeling. Good news, it's 19 minutes to 7 o'clock, and no sign as yet of the imminent apocalypse that we were actually threatened with earlier in the show. But of course, as we also said, there are other apocalypti that's probably sort of coming over the hill, even as we speak. Have you managed to catch any of the programme? Because it's been packed full of all sorts of stuff, Phil, including, of course, the LA Zoo lights, Boo at the Zoo, mindfulness in travel, Anna Lewis getting lost in Jersey, and of course, heaps of goodies stuff with respect to retail therapy as well.
I caught Boo at the Zoo, and I've caught everything in the last half hour.
Yeah, well, there we are, you see, including the...
I was at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club this morning, don't
excellent.
You know, which I am finally going to join as a member. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I'm going to turn it into a podcast. Okay. Well, I'm not going to turn the meeting into a podcast. That's wrong. I'm going to produce a podcast based on the club, because this 90-year-old local institution, in its heyday, the 1930s and 1940s, was broadcast nationwide on radio. And so what a glorious tradition to bring back and to take portions of the meeting each week.
Phil, I seem to recall when Lily Holliman actually went through there about a year ago, I actually made the suggestion we should do something on that basis and go transatlantic with the podcast. So consider
I've got a different idea for you. I've got a different job for you. Because Mark Hershon, and you know, if I know anything after 9 years of hosting a weekly podcast, it's that listeners love hearing production meetings on the air. So let's continue this discussion, shall we? I actually have had a desire for a while to create and be a part of my own podcast network, because it's, you know, we when we originally started our show, we were on a network, then we left the network and went independent. Now we're back on some networks, and everything seems to be about being part of a network. And I actually think a natural would be to take the two midweek drive shows each week and to edit those into a one-hour highlight package.
You say.
You know, your like your favorite laughs from the midweek drive, right? You know, something like that.
Well, Eva's nodding. Eva's nodding with her. She's up for the whole thing. Alex is too young in the midweek drive era to really sort of appreciate it. It's just his second show. You may recall Alex Crawford, the man who... when did you do your first show, Alex, with us?
April of this year, yes.
And it's been...
I mean, I would just suggest, you know, that there are certain... Obviously, you know, I mean, I think one of the reasons that when you edit for the podcast segments that you do now, one of the things is that you have to cut out the music. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a kind of copyright issue, which means that a bit like that well-known retail online Jeff Bezos company, we can have clips of the music, but normally you won't get the whole lot, unless, of course, the authors of the music have actually given us fair full permission, in which case sometimes we will let the whole thing run.
So you could have the musical guests that appear on the show.
Yeah, we've occasionally featured their work in full. You know, the likes of, dare I say it, the daughter of Sam Stone, and the delightful Lindsay Gold being a case in point.
Absolutely.
Tallulah Reynolds.
Well, not actually the daughter of Sam Stone and Lindsay Gold. It is, in fact, Lindsay Gold.
Thank you very much.
But
I was time-traveling again. Are we doing Logan's Run after this? Where are we?
We are doing Logan's Run. Of course we are. It's going to be fantastic. The 23rd year of the city.
Yeah.
22.
I'll just be saying,
74.
Yeah. Great idea. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Great story. Yeah. Well, this will be outstanding. The Midweek Drive is a one-hour highlight package each week where we... it just means
4 hours into one.
Which means basically we get down to 2 hours just by cutting out every David Soul and David Cassidy song. Right,
Alex
there,
Crawford,
we're down to 2 hours.
Has there been any David Cassidy or David Soul on the show this evening at all?
I think if we had some, it wouldn't have... deteriorated the quality of it.
The words of Alex Crawford from Huddersfield. If we'd had some, it would not have deteriorated the quality of it. Can we take it two ways?
I'm not sure if that's a backhanded compliment or not, because it all depends on what the quality of the show was to begin with, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, please, where are we going with respect to this one? Where would you like to go, Phil Linus? Because I can see that...
I want to know what everyone's going to be wearing for Halloween. Halloween fever is on me.
It's October the 7th, and we've already kicked off the Halloween trick-or-treat season. It's unbelievable, but normally we wait until the time itself, but we launched it officially, Werewolves of London. So, will you be trick-or-treating? And if so, what will you be wearing, Alex Crawford?
Oh, you know, I like to go as some kind of video game character, which everybody recognises from the scary games.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Well, he's quite scary in the more recent
editions. Super Mario?
I was thinking more...
One of the Brothers?
I was thinking
Pac-Man?
More...
Pac-Man?
They're all very scary.
They're all very scary. Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler? Oh, gosh, I think that would be a bit too much.
Very scary. Maybe the next president of the United States, Kanye West, or indeed Donald Trump. Oh, sorry.
Maybe the president himself.
Yeah. And we all know how the refugees will feel if Donald Trump gets elected president. We forgot to actually mention this is actually taking a little bit of the wind from the official tributes that will be featured on Chilpack Hollywood. But we lost this week, sadly, to the great Heaven FM, the director of The Towering Inferno and The King Kong, which featured Jessica Lange. He sadly passed away. Were you aware of that, that we've lost the director? Aged 89, so he had a good innings, but did you realise that one of your forebears in the magical art of movie direction, Phil, had moved into the great directorial board in the sky?
Was that John Gillerman?
It was indeed John Gillerman, yes. That's exactly so. So he's ceased to be after some of the sort of classics of our time, including, as I say, the aforementioned King Kong with Jessica Lange. Heartrending, I thought.
Which I actually believed was underappreciated.
Yeah, well, we agree on that. Sorted through.
I mean, it really, really was not well received. We're going to talk about... I don't know. I mean, do the listeners know about this project that you're doing, having discussions about classic science fiction films? Or
I think it's time that you actually refresh the mind, because Alex Crawford certainly doesn't. Eva MacDonald might have actually been privy to some of these things. I'm not sure whether you were or weren't or focused. So let's run it past us, Phil, and if you make any mistakes, I will instantly say, no, that's off base.
Well, I'm not quite sure exactly, to be honest with you, anymore what the purpose of it is. I believe that you were running an ongoing seminar examining some of the classics of the science fiction genre.
Exactly. And for students not only of the modules in both English and indeed film and television studies, but people who might be in journalism, people, anybody throughout the university, or indeed Lincoln, let's roll it out here, who actually fancy seeing on the large screen a selection of movies which kind of were talismanic in terms of the whole thing, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, Metropolis, Logan's Run, Soylent Green, possibly The Omega Man, maybe even upbeat numbers like 2001, honestly, we've mentioned 2001, anyway, Planet of the Apes and so on. We're running, in addition to the possibility of maybe doing some discussions at screenings, we're going to do a companion series of podcasts in which people can actually have people like Phil Linus, who have walked the walk and talked the talk as a film tutor, scholar and indeed director, sharing their thoughts of the sort of movie in question, the text in question. Is that something you would download, Alex Crawford?
Yeah, I mean, I love all things vintage. I love history and everything. So
there we have it, Phil. You know, building the audience one person at a time.
It's to a degree. It's almost like an audio commentary to accompany these big screen screenings. Mm. And in some cases, obviously, there'll probably be discussions you would want to maybe listen to afterwards. To reflect upon things. I actually think when we talk about Logan's Run, which we're going to record after we're off the air today, it might be something where people want to consider some of these things before coming to the film.
Exactly.
But I brought all this up because when you mentioned John Gillerman and you mentioned these films like Towering Inferno, or especially the way King Kong was rather shabbily received upon its initial release, the word silly runs through a lot of these reviews, you know, trying to dismiss the film as silly. And this was certainly true of Logan's Run. If you read reviews to this day, it kind of gets dismissed as just being silly. And but I was thinking about how much depth there was to the work, and if they had taken a very earnest approach, everyone would have criticized it for being so heavy-handed, and it wouldn't have had a chance to delight people and resonate with people. And I feel to a certain degree that the same is true of John Gillerman's work with King Kong. Thank God it was silly. Thank God it had a sense of fun and amusement about itself. And honestly, as silly as it was, those characters were more interesting and appealing than in Peter Jackson's remake.
Harsh words, but even Peter Jackson didn't have Jerry Goldsmith writing the theme tune, which is what we're having a little snippet of in the background, even, in case you're wondering. What is that sound that's coming through there? Yeah, it is.
You had Jeff Bridges, Jessica Lange, as you point out. Bridges, Jessica Lange, Charles Grodin.
Exactly.
There is no one of their equal in the Peter Jackson remake.
And of course, the Blue Max, another John Gillerman feature, also had George Peppard, and one of my own personal favourites with Robert Vaughan, the Bridget Remagen. A lovely, cool shot of Robert Vaughan as a Nazi SS officer smoking a cigarette as the bridge is effectively taken. Very impressive, very evocative.
Now, so I only got one third of my question answered of what we're wearing for Halloween.
Eva. What are you going to be wearing for Hallow's Scream at the York Maze and the Halloween season?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't really planned it out. Because we don't really dress up for Halloween.
Really?
So, yeah. So I'm going to have to knuckle down and think.
You do if you're a Miss Teen UK.
Yeah, I'm going to have to now, aren't I?
Yeah, dressing up, it's part and parcel of the rich fantasy. And I might actually...
And Alex.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think maybe a lecturer in journalism, perhaps? Yeah, just maybe, I don't know. It'd be very scary. No, too much, you know. We'll just have to wait and see, actually.
And everyone will ask, if you dress up as a lecturer in film or in journalism, everyone's going to ask the obvious question, why is Jim Broadbent dressed up like a university professor?
Yeah, well, you see, it's not going to happen. You know, that's the key thing. It's a different world entirely. But still, life continues. Alex, anything you'd like to suggest for Phil Dearness to contemplate, cogitate on, or indeed just generally consider before we actually have... Oh, no, I'm going to have to press this button now.
Hi, I'm Jim Broadbent. You're listening to Siren Radio, 107.3 FM.
Sounds nothing like me. Really? Different line of time. Anyway, Alex, over to you.
No, fair enough.
That's the words of the Crawford. Absolutely stum from that sort of line of things. Eva, what do you think Phil
Alex
should...
Alex would have fit in perfectly at the beginning of my podcast.
There we are. Eva, what would you like to roll past Phil Dearness? What bits of the show do you feel he has missed out on? I mean, we talked about Boo at the Zoo and so on. Hopefully he will actually attend the Los Angeles Zoo to check it out, really, and sort of visit there. But
did Phil say what he was going to wear for Halloween?
Excellent point, Eva. What will you be wearing for Halloween, Phil?
That's a good one. I haven't figured it out. See, I'm dishing it out, but I'm not... I do. I have, actually. I'm going to be on set. I'm producing 8 short films this month. We shot 4 of them last week. We're shooting 4 of them that week. And I have made very clear that everyone on the crew has to come in costume on October 31st on set, or they will be fired. So I'd better come up with something. And I'm open to ideas. I'm open to ideas. I would love to honestly celebrate the impending return of the X-Files. We're going to talk about this on this coming week's show, but the X-Files had its premiere. The pilot for the revival had its premiere in Cannes this week at MIPCOM, and the reviews are extraordinarily positive. So I'd like to go... Should I go with Dean Haglund's character? Wouldn't that be funny?
Well, I think that would a blonde wig. That's Langley. Sorted. Yeah. I was, and so much better than actually going down the line of Gillian Anderson's character of Dinah Scully. It wouldn't really work, even though it might get...
Well, I've just... I mean, how many years can I do that?
Well, that's,
really?
That's exactly. Eva, number between 2 and 26, please.
21.
21 she's gone for, and 21 is what you've got.
To set the record straight, however cool you think it might be to have an out-of-body experience floating over your house, flying through space, traversing the past, present, and future, let me tell you, it'll never be as cool as being in the one you now have, walking barefoot in the grass, floating on the sun-drenched pool, or dancing alone in the dark. You so fly the universe.
Yay!
Trust me, from here, getting into body is considered the most sacred of all sacreds.
Quite right, of course. You don't appreciate what you got in body until you're actually out of body. It's a point to ponder on there, if you're thinking about the apocalypse or not. Okay, up next, as far as Siren 107.3 FM is concerned, it's Naomi Costley. Naomi Costley. Yeah, very good. I'll take you around, of course, to Groundworks at 9. Alex, would you like to ask Phil Leoness those last two questions? I mean, you've heard Eva deliver masterclasses in terms of the whole sequence. I think you can handle them. Go.
Yes, indeed. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I found it very interesting and a lovely warm-up to my aforementioned conversation with Alex about Logan's Run.
That's wonderful. And can we expect to hear from you again in the future?
You'll be hearing from me again
next week. From now. We will be bringing you Angela Rippon. We'll be bringing you Professor Jason Whitaker. We'll be bringing you Phil Leoness, Anna Lewis, Cameron Tilbury, Eva MacDonald, David J. Howe, and Sam Stone. Can we squeeze them all in and the news? Yes, we can, because that's what we actually do. Eva, back tomorrow morning?
I am indeed.
Just after midnight, Los Angeles time. Alex, we'll see you again in the very near future, no doubt.
I expect so.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds with Get Ready for Love take us out of the sequence today. Can we all say bye-bye? A one, a two, a three?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Praising him for, praising him, got what you're praising him.